Why don't we read responsive reading today, the first 23 verses? I'll read the first, you read the second, and so on, down to verse 23. And Samuel also said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt.
Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass.
And Saul gathered the people together, and numbered them in Tobin, 200,000 footmen, and 10,000 men of Judah.
And Saul came to a city of Amalek, and laid wait in the valley.
And Saul said unto the Midianites, Go, depart, be you down from among the Amalekites. Lest I destroy you with them, for ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Canaanites departed from among the Amalekites.
And Saul smote Amalek from Havilah until thou comest unto Shur, which is over against Egypt.
And he took Amalek, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword.
But Saul said, and the people spared Agag, the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. I think that's my verse. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night.
And Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning. It was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal.
And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord.
And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?
And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we utterly destroyed.
Then Samuel said unto Saul, Say, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on.
And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel?
And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go,
Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, didst evil in the sight of the Lord?
Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek,
But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal.
And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great a delight in her offerings and sacrifices, as in the obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, the way that is sacrificed, and the hearken that I like.
For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today and we open your word and ask you to teach us. Touch our hearts. Some of the lessons that are in here I know that are in our own hearts. And I ask you, Lord, that you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak. I pray that you'd touch every heart and life inside this room and in the sound of my voice. I pray if there's a lost soul, I pray that that soul will come to repent of his sins and come to Jesus Christ and get saved. And I pray that souls that are burdened in many ways spiritually, I pray, Lord, you'd lift their burdens. I pray they'd come to you. We recognize, Father, our weakness, our selfishness, our foolishness, our sin. We ask you to forgive us. Give us this day thy blessing. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The interesting story. You take old Saul. He was head and shoulders above most other average men. He was a big man himself. He didn't go out to fight the giant, though, that was about the size of this wall that we have in here, about 10 foot. And he had four brothers, it was. It was him and four brothers, five giants in that family. And they were a fighting man from his youth. He was a fighting man and a very man of renown. But Saul didn't go down there. He tried to give David his armor, but David said, I can't walk in this. I can't fight in this. He didn't know how to fight that, and it was way, way too big for him. But now he's been king for a long time. And you know, sometimes when God gives you a blessing, you don't respond the way you ought to. You think you deserved it. You think you bought it. You think you paid for it. You worked for it. You brought yourself up by your own bootstraps. And I guess that may be what happened to Saul. I don't know. I don't know exactly what was in Saul's heart, except that God gave him a charge, a commandment. Now, he said Amalek, first of all, did to Israel, when Israel was coming out of Egypt, and they were coming, Amalek stood against them. And God already had decided that they were going to get judged for it. Now, what he does, he goes and tells Saul, he tells Samuel to tell Saul, go wipe out Amalek. I don't want anybody from them. I don't want their cattle. I don't want their sheep. I don't want their camels and their oxen or whatever they've got. I don't want anything. You kill every single one of them. Now, I'm not going to talk about the justification of that, but that's the type of battles that went on and wars that went on. Why do you think Abraham had 318 trained soldiers? The average fella, I don't have a trained soldier in my house. I got a few guns, but I don't have a trained soldier in my house. Well, me, I'm an old soldier, but I'm worthless. I'd be no good in a fight unless I could sit on you. If I could put you on the ground and drop on you, I might do a little damage. God said, I told them I was going to wipe them out, and I'm going to wipe them out. Now, here's what you do, Saul. You do my bidding. You're my king. You take an army down there, and he gets 200,000 men, 10,000 men out of that tribe of Judah. And they go down there, and they attack the city. They let the Kenites get out, and then they attack the city. And he wiped them out. He killed a bunch of them. But you know, that old farmer, he saw those good sheep and those good cattle. Man, fine, fine animals. He just didn't want to destroy them. That was wealth. Burlene loved country things. Always loved it. She'd love to live on a ranch. And we went to rodeos and we did a lot of things. But you know, our favorite time, and she's the one that put me into it, was not going when the rodeo was happening at night, but in the daytime and going through those cattle barns. You ever done that? It's worth doing. I can't do it now because I couldn't walk that far. But we would go, and the most beautiful animals, these kids in FFA that have raised these things from babies and then brought them up, and they're perfect. Do you know what? They got hair dryers in their own pigs. They got hair dryers on horses, and they got combs and brushes, and you walk in there. It's an interesting day. If you've never done it, you need to do that and go through all the cattle barns. And you go into one place, and here's a guy sitting up here with a dog whistle in his mouth. And there's one of those shepherd dogs. And he's doing cattle or horses or whatever. And he's punching them around, putting them anywhere he wants them. And you don't hear a thing. Because he's got a dog whistle. It's high above your ears, you know. But that dog hears it. And that dog goes along and separates these cows from this one and these others, and he puts them all in different places. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And to look at these things, they're combing them so sweetly, they're rubbing them down, they're bathing them. They're the most beautiful animals you ever saw in the world. Well, now, Saul was a rancher. He was a farmer. He was somebody that valued animals. And here's riches, here's wealth. You're going to kill all these people? Why waste all these beautiful animals? Covetousness. You know, doesn't matter what God says, does it? I think it does. I think it looks to me like what it says here. Now go and smite Amalek. Utterly destroy all that they have. Is anything ambiguous about that verse? Utterly destroy all that they have. I don't understand the reason for that. Saul didn't understand the reason for that. I don't understand you, God. Why kill beautiful animals like it? That's riches. That's wealth. That's something that will just increase our property. Beautiful things. You know, it's not in your business to tamper with the Word of God. If God says it, I believe He means it. I come to the place a long time ago. I was raised in a house that said the Bible's the Word of God and Jesus Christ is God. Now that was the way I was raised. I didn't read the Bible very much. I memorized a few verses of Scripture and whatever. But you know, one time I came at it 20 years old, I come to the place that I recognized God was God. He really was. And He meant what He said. And the Word of God was there to give us instruction. We didn't know how to raise kids. Verlene and I, both of us were the babies of our family. We hadn't raised. I never changed the diaper before I had a baby. I never kept kids. I never babysat. We had kids, we didn't know what we were doing, and we knew we didn't. And when we got saved, all of a sudden we started reading the Bible and saying, what does the Bible say? And just by just simple little faith, it's right. Whatever He says is right. Get it clear, get it understood. Now, Saul had been king. Samuel had made him king. And when God came down with this message for Samuel, it really hurt him. It hurt Samuel. Samuel cried all night long, Lord. You know he's praying for Saul. Lord, I know. It's like his son. He set him up as king. He was proud of him. He wanted him to go forward. And poor old Saul, he just couldn't slay those animals. There's another thing he couldn't kill. Agag. He's the king. Now, why in the world would he want to keep the king alive? Just to bully him. Just to show him off. Just to show I'm a greater king than you. You remember that Saul was a great general. He really was. He won many battles. And he was known for killing his thousands. And the ladies saying, Saul has killed his thousands. And then he got a guy by the name of David that killed Goliath and then became the leader of his army. And then they begin to sing, Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his 10,000s. Ooh, that did not set well with Saul. He said, no, they're bragging on David more than they're bragging on me. Well, he had a problem. And sometimes we have the same problem. We know what God says, but we're not willing to do what God says, because we think we know better. We really do think we understand better, like these guys that deny the Bible and that want to debate and want to make fun of the commandments of God. You know, I didn't live 3,000 years ago, so there's a whole lot about living 3,000 years ago that I don't understand, and you don't either. Nor do any of the college professors and seminary professors and whatever. They don't understand it either. It's a long time ago, and we may have the wrong concept of certain things simply because of the time difference in which we lived. These kids that can take a computer and just play with it and do all sorts of things with it drive me nuts. I can't. I have sometimes a hard time turning the stupid thing on. And then I can't type. I never learned to type, so I'm a hunt and peck, you know. Takes me longer to make a letter, but they can read them. Do you understand that the old missionaries, that when they first went out, I wrote them letters in longhand. And they told me, you give us the most interesting letters of anybody that writes to us. It takes us 3 days to figure out what you said. All through school, all through elementary school, back in my day, it wasn't A, B, C, D, E, F. It was S, U, and I. Satisfactory, unsatisfactory, needs improvement. I never got a satisfactory on penmanship. Never. And I've still got this nervous hand here. It's a good thing I'm not a brain surgeon. I might just leave you with real problems. You know something? We think we are the center of the universe. All of us do. Everything has to do with how I feel. Everything has to do with my pain, my sickness, my happiness. Sometimes these people kill themselves because a certain person, say a woman turns them down or a man turns a woman down, and they think, life is just not worth living. No, there's only 5 billion other women out there. You don't reckon you can figure and get one? Make you happy? I tell you what, funny thing, Agag was kept alive so Saul could make sport of him and build himself up. That happens all the time. They torture him and whatever. So we've got God coming to Samuel and saying, go to Saul. He's disobeyed me. I'm repenting of ever making him king. Wow, God repenting. I repented of making him king. He has not utterly followed my commandment. Now, the commandment is clear. Now, when he comes to him, he says, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Brother Brian, I think it was telling me a story about the engineer for our auditorium over there. I ordered and bought the trusses for this building and the trusses for that building and the trusses for my house in Bernie from the same company. But we had to repair those trusses. And the engineer said, as I understand it, he said, you know, I do this all the time. That's his job. He's just an engineer. And he said, I'll tell people how it needs to be fixed. And when I come back, they've done just what they want to do anyway. But he said, y'all didn't. You'd fixed every one of them right, and he signed off that it was safe and secure and whatever. And he was bragging on the workmanship that's right there now, that the strength of those trusses, that it's going to be all right, and that somebody followed the word. Saul did a little bit of what God told him. Maybe a lot of what God told him. But there's something he didn't do. He didn't do what God told him. He said, destroy every one of them. Destroy everything that they have. Now, can you figure out why God said that? I can't, and it doesn't make any difference if you can. You still have the command of God. You maybe don't understand it. You know what? This little 3.5-pound thing you got up here, it doesn't look like the one God has. He's got a much bigger one. He has got a lot more brains than you have. He understands the end from the beginning. You don't. I don't understand what's going to happen today. Any one of us can just drive out here and a 18-wheeler just wipe you out. And all of a sudden you're saying, "Hello, Lord."
That's right.
Sort of like the way I'd like to go. But, no, I'm teasing. I do that too much. I do too much teasing. But at any rate, he said, "I have obeyed the command of the Lord." Did you? There's a beautiful picture here in verse 14. What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep? If you did what God told you to do, how come I hear sheep bleating around about me? No, you didn't do what the Lord said. You kept the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. You liar, you liar, you liar. We're all liars. Boy, but we tell a story sometimes to try to get ourselves out of trouble. Every one of you has done it. She did it. He did it. Brothers and sisters tattling on each other, fighting each other. "I don't want a spanking." Well, somebody's going to get a spanking. At any rate, he said, "Why are all these sheep here if you did what God told you to do?" The people. The people. Did you ever read anywhere else where Saul was afraid of the people? No, he was king. He didn't worry about it. He did a lot of things that he shouldn't have done. He was a king. It was Saul that did it. And here they have all the best. I admit they probably were beautiful animals. I love to see beautiful animals. That's great. And why he didn't want to destroy him? Well, he didn't know what God wanted, and you don't know what God wants. Many times, when God's word comes to you, you just have to trust it. Now, what was his problem? He wanted something for himself. And so, he comes around, he said, we saved them. The people saved them to sacrifice. Now, look at verse 22 and 23. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Behold, thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king." He made a big mistake. He had a high, high, beautiful position. His name is known worldwide and has been for centuries because he's written right here in the Word of God as the first king of Israel. Wow. What opportunity he had. He didn't know that God himself expected obedience. We had a fellow around here who was a real good carpenter. I mean a beautiful finished carpenter. Man, did beautiful work. But you couldn't count on him. He'd tell you he'd be a place, he wouldn't be there. He'd tell you he'd show up, he didn't show up. And so we couldn't use him like we would like to have used him. Well, what about you? What do you think about God? Do you think God just doesn't know your situation? God just doesn't understand the strain that you're under or the problems that you have or what you want for your future? No, I don't think so. And he says, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" That's a tremendous question. What pleases God? I've told the story before, but I was watching Starsky and Hutch on TV one time, and they just got their lives saved. Wow, boy, you know. And one of them, I don't know whether it was Starsky or Hutch, he says, "Next time I see a holy man, I'm going to lay a five on him." Your life not worth more than a five? That just tickled the daylights out of me. I thought, you're going to give a holy man $5 because God saved your life today. That's funny. That is funny. But I got to thinking, and this is where my mind went. God's delight. How about your delight? Do you actually delight yourself in the things that God delights in? Can you recognize that God's delight might be bigger than yours? Might be more important than yours? Might not matter all so much of what you think you ought to have, but it does matter what God thinks you ought to have. And you understand, as I was raised up in this home, I didn't know the Bible that well, but I had it in my head. It's an authority. And I have an authority. It's the King James Version of the Bible. I don't say you have to do everything I do or believe like I believe, but if you're going to change my mind about anything, it's going to have to be out of this book. That's my authority. I have a recognized authority. You can check me on it. You can question me on it. You can rebuke me by it. It's an authority. Where do I go for an answer? What is right? What is wrong? What's going to hurt? What's going to bless in the long run? Those are the reasons we ought to make some decisions. Do you ever see somebody do something that you know they're just not thinking clear? Most of the people that are crooks think they're going to get away with what they do. But a whole lot of them spend a lot of time in jail. There was an old outlaw years ago. Lived to be up in his 60 years, and he was famous for his being able to shoot and kill people and come out the best and whatever. And he got old and finally died in his 60s. He spent 40 years in prison. Do you think it was worth it? I don't think so. Do you think somebody's television is worth 10 years in prison? You think you're not going to get caught? Somebody's going to get you sooner or later. Sooner or later, you're going to get caught. What do you take delight in? Well, God's delight, it says, is obeying the voice of the Lord. Do you have it in your mind, I do want to please God? I think you need it. I think you need it in your mind, I want to please God. Why would you want to go to heaven if you didn't want to please God? I don't know that I like sitting on a cloud playing a harp. I don't know whether I'm going to enjoy some other something like that unless I want to please God Almighty. God has a will for you. God has a purpose. God has a plan. It may not be the plan that some people are preaching today, but He has a plan for you. Yes, He does. And He can use you. Can He use your life and your death? Well, you want to serve Him with life, most of you. But then some of us are going to serve Him with our death. And maybe sometime like this, I've just reread the experiences of the five missionaries back in the 1950s. They went to the Aka Indians and all five were slaughtered. Broke my heart as I read it again. And I bought it again because I'd given them away. But Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, three other guys, great Christian men, dedicated men, fanatics. They're out to reach somebody that's never heard the name and the greatest killers in the jungle. And they did it. They did the best they could. Man, they worked a year or two flying in around, finding them and giving them presents and learning their language and whatever. And then when they really decided to make their move, they thought they could go in and become friends and reach these people, the Indians came out and killed them. And they were put in a common grave. And you know what hurt me? Those five widow women and those five families of children that'll never know their daddy. I was looking at my grandchildren singing. Those are my grandchildren. And then I look around at my great-grandchildren. Good night, I got a load. They're beautiful. I love them. I just have fun with them. My goodness gracious, they're never going to see that. And I thought, they gave their lives for the command of God, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And they didn't hold back on this Aka Indian tribe that was so fierce. Anybody they didn't know was an enemy. And they killed them just right and left. Through Gates of Splendor by Elizabeth Elliot. It's worth reading. But wow! You know what they did? They didn't count their life dear. Most of them had people telling them, don't go to the mission field. And when they got to the mission field, they had people tell them, don't go to the Aka Indians. They had a burden to do the will of God completely, fully. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? I don't think you've got enough money to give him for your disobedience. I don't think that you can reason with God enough to get yourself out of it because I didn't do what God told me to do. And you know, that's just in, how about raising children? You know, we talk about women being equal to men. I think women have a tremendous thing, the giving of children, the raising of children. And I think that's a higher move than being CEO of anybody's corporation. I think it's a more honorable thing, even though lots of places it's not looked upon that way. That's what God made them for. And those children need a mother, and they need a father. I was reading an article, and it said that 70% of the people, of the men in prison, didn't have a father in the home. And that's why they were not controlled as they should have been. That's why they ended up being in the problems that they were in. You know what God meant for a husband and a wife and children? And they need to be raised up. They need to be disciplined. And they need to learn some things like, how about obeying God? That'd be a nice thing to learn. What a beautiful thing that you could be a mother and you train your daughter and then you train your grandson and then he becomes a preacher like Timothy. Wow. How about that for a testimony? It might not mean much down here, and it might not be there you can retire on, but when we get to heaven, I want you to know the measure is different. God's got a different standard than what the world has. Has great delight. No, God does not have great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices. I don't even understand them except as to show the blood sacrifice of animal after animal, innocent for the guilty, innocent for the guilty, to bring us to the place to see Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of it all. Innocent for the guilty. And that's what he did. That's the most beautiful thing in all the Bible. Christ died for your sins. He was the innocent one. He was the righteous one. He was the holy one. And he can take your sins and give you his righteousness. Wow! That's good news. It needs to be heard all the way around the world. I got to thinking about delight. Look at Psalm 1. This verse is 1, 2, and 3. Blessed, happy, fortunate, wonderful is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What's he going to be like? Like a tree planted by the rivers of water, brings his fruit in his season, his leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. You want a life like that? Then you better seek God. You want a life like that, you better take God at his word and understand he means what he says, and he says what he means. How about delight? What do you delight in? Look at Psalm 37. the first seven verses. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And we sometimes we are. They get away with it. They get all this stuff. No, there's a price to be paid for everything you do. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord. Do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord.
Amen.
Hey, that might ought to be a goal.
Amen. Yeah.
Delight yourself in the Lord, your God. He's worthy to be delighted.
Amen.
Yes. He says right here, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Delight yourself in the Lord. Wow. Look in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah, by the way, that's in the Old Testament after Isaiah. Isaiah's after the Psalms, Proverbs. I know, I'm teasing. Look at verse 23, chapter 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Well, we got a lot of them. We got a lot of these fellows thinking they're really smart, smarter than God. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Well, we've got a lot of that too. Who do we lift up? We lift up athletes. Guys that can run faster than anybody else. Guys that can shoot better than anybody else. Guys that can throw darts better than anybody else. We lift them up. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Wow. He's talking our language, isn't he?
Amen.
But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Hey, the biggest thing about your life is that you understand and know God.